This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
If sports talk radio was part of the Olympics, we'd win the gold. Mostly because we're the ones who are awake and alive and covering all of the games as they are taking place and unfolding on multiple TV screens in my studio. I love this. I was just saying this to my family as well as to producer Dave. It is so great to have all of these broadcast channels, whether it's NBC, big NBC, NBC Sports Network, it's also USA. There's an Olympic channel as well. Not that we have that one here at work, but we're able to watch a lot of these events unfold live or catch them right after they happen. And so it's pretty cool to be able to keep up with everything that's happening halfway across the world and to be able to talk about it in real time with you. So gold medal it is. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Hope you had a great weekend. If you love sports, well, this was a great weekend to find whatever it was that you were looking for because the Olympics is offering so much and there's a lot of excitement, great anticipation as some of the biggest stars of these games are just getting to the point where they're challenging, or in the case of the pool, the United States has already claimed some gold medals, though a stunner, and I mean a stunner, coming from the pool already. And so it's fun to immerse yourself, and we still have 2 weeks to go. I really had found myself kind of going on Sunday, going through all the different channels that were carrying the Olympic events and picking and choosing the events that I wanted to watch because with so many channels, there's really something for everyone. You can catch whatever it is that you're interested in, whether it's volleyball or basketball or softball, the swimming, the gymnastics. So Team USA, you want to talk about a stunner, not in first place after the qualifying round. So they've been blowing every other country out of the water in international competitions for years now, in large part due to Simone Biles. And after the initial qualifying, the United States is more than a point behind Russia in the overall standings. Now, there's a long way to go, and we still have all the individual events as well, but that's not something that I expected to see, and I dare say not something that a lot of fans expected to see. It is different with no fans, but I have been pleasantly surprised that we're not getting a lot of the fake pumped in crowd noise from NBC and the family of networks, like what we got when sports returned last year and there were no fans. I actually enjoy hearing the few people that are in the different event venues, whether it's the swimming, whether it's the gymnastics. There are other teams. There are people that are there, coaches, that type of thing. That are inside these arenas and these venues. So it's not completely silent. It's different, of course, but it's not completely silent. And it's been, I think, interesting to see and to hear, both the audio and the visual of these games as they get underway. So I hope that you're enjoying them. I did not watch sports all weekend. In fact, I did not watch basketball live. I watched it on the replay on Sunday afternoon. In fact, I was able to take a getaway day on Saturday. So if you want to know what I was doing with my Saturday, well, you have to check out Twitter. A-Law Radio, I posted a photo. I suppose I can put it up on Facebook as well. But it was an opportunity on Saturday to check out for a little bit. And I did exactly that. It was really nice. 855-212-4227. As always, that's our toll-free line or on Twitter and Facebook. We're glad to have you with us as we start another work week, another week in July. In fact, the last full week of July, and there will not be a dull moment. Not just because of the Olympics, but you know what happens in the next 48 hours. Oh, hello, every other NFL team starting training camp on what the NFL has called its universal date. That means we will have an answer about Aaron Rodgers this week. So much speculation. It continues to build. If you missed my conversation with former Packers great Leroy Butler last week, wonderful conversation. He was engaging, really funny. Very candid and open. And of course, we talked about Aaron Rodgers and his theories. He had some interesting ones. I had not heard his before. But my point being, every single person you ask, whether in Wisconsin or out, who's been following this saga at all, has an opinion about what will happen on Tuesday. What will happen as the Packers and every other NFL team report for training camp. We're going to find out. We did hear a report coming out of Houston where Deshaun Watson is going to report for camp. He has reiterated to the franchise that he still wants to be traded, and he's still facing 22, I think is the current count, 22 civil lawsuits over assault allegations. Those go back to his various massage choices. And so he's fighting that still, dealing with that still. The NFL investigation is ongoing, but according to Ed Werder, he will be at training camp. He does not want to pay the $50,000 daily fine. Although, weirdly enough, if you listen to people talk about the situation in Green Bay, so for instance, Andrew Brandt brought this up when he was driving and just started recording on his phone. And it reminded me of producer Dave, who does his podcast. You still do your podcast while you're driving home in the morning? And I used to get on producer Dave because I feel like that can't be real safe. But he swore to me, oh, I just put my phone in its little holster and then I talk while I'm driving. Except, I don't know. I definitely talk on the phone sometimes while I'm driving, but I feel like I don't focus as much on the road, meaning it's on my Bluetooth. And an hour later, I'll look up and realize, oh, wowzers, I don't even know how I got here. It's an hour later and that time passed so quickly, which isn't bad. It doesn't mean I'm distracted. It just means that I'm not really thinking about the driving. But producer Dave and apparently Andrew Brandt record videos while they're driving on down the road. Men don't care whether or not the phone is at a weird angle and it's looking up at them into their nose hairs. So Andrew Brandt, who was the member of the Green Bay front office who actually posed with Aaron Rodgers on the day he signed his rookie contract. So he was with the Packers then. He's close to the situation. Also a former agent. He says that if they would renegotiate Aaron's contract, then all the fines can be wiped out, even though that's no longer part of the NFL's collective bargaining agreement. So one question answered. Deshaun Watson, yes, to Texans camp. We do not know yet about Aaron Rodgers. And coming out of the desert. Chandler Jones, who is an all-pro pass rusher for the Arizona Cardinals, he has now asked for a trade. It's interesting because the offseason is nearly over. We're about to enter training camp slash preseason. The Cardinals don't want to trade Chandler any more than the Packers want to trade Rodgers any more than the Texans want to trade Deshaun. So the Cardinals are still expecting him to report to training camp, which again begins on Tuesday. You may remember, for those of you who are Cardinals fans, of course you remember, that he's coming off surgery on his right arm, his right biceps. And he's expecting to have a breakout year, or I should say a comeback year. So that they have heard his request, but they may just expect him to play out the year in Arizona until he hits free agency in 22. If I'm the team, and Chandler's a big part of what they do, if you go back to 2017 through 19, and remember he was with the Patriots too, before he was traded, was that the whole synthetic marijuana flap? Yes, I think there was some, I don't think it was an arrest, but some contact with the cops where he was cited for, I think it was synthetic marijuana, and it wasn't long after that that Bill Belichick shipped him to Arizona. Anyway, he has done well in Arizona, and he's done well overall, though he only played 5 games a year ago. But there's no way that he wants to hold out and not play or play this game of chicken when he is in a contract year. So the Cardinals have all the leverage here. No freaking way that he's not going to get back on the field as quickly as possible, because he needs to prove that he can still be the same pass rusher that he was before the injury. And so in most cases in the NFL, the team has the leverage. We generally see it work out that way. I know some people have indicated that they think Aaron Rodgers has the leverage in the situation with Green Bay, but I disagree. He doesn't want to retire. He's not done playing, and they've got him under contract for 3 more years. So these contracts, they favor the teams. They favor the franchises, that's for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What's on my TV right now is gymnastics. And while I can't hear what's happening, of course, because I'm talking to you, I'm seeing Simone Biles in vault and in the other events as these American women attempt to, and then this is taped delayed, obviously, the American women kind of setting the stage for what's the team competition that will conclude later this week. The look on her face after stepping out of bounds after one vault, and then after another vault, taking a couple of big hops, she is clearly disappointed in herself. And as I say, Team USA is in second place after the preliminaries. Although I suppose if you are Team USA, there is plenty of disappointment to go around. Nothing's been lost in the gymnastics competition, and nothing's been lost in basketball. But with 4 minutes left against France, the men's team had an 8-point lead. And man, they hit a wall after that.
Batum for 3. He gets it. So Nick Batum.
Big 3.
Gobert in on Durant. Nearly traveled. Hustling rebound. Over to Fournier. And he hits. Evan Fournier. Under a minute. France has the lead at 76-74. France is on a 9-0 run. Durant for 3. Americans get it back. Trailing by 2. Corner 3, Holiday. Oh. In and out. Final 7 seconds here. Lillard puts it up. Holiday, no, and that will do it. So France has beaten the United States in the first game in Pool A, final score 83-76.
That's the call on the NBC Sports Network. 8-point lead with 4 minutes to go. And the United States, well, this was a really well-played defensive game for both teams. The United States had this one possession that I won't forget, in which they had five different looks at the hoop and could not get a shot to drop. It was a rough finish to this game. Kevin Durant was in foul trouble most of the game, but he also shot really poorly, maybe in large part because he really couldn't settle into a rhythm. Damian Lillard shot poorly as well. Meanwhile, Evan Fournier had 28 points and was in a nice rhythm and groove. So here are the Americans who lose their first Olympic game in 26 tries. They had a 25-game win streak going back to 04, 17 years. First time they've lost an Olympic game in men's basketball. And what has Greg Popovich been telling us over and over again? You cannot take these other teams lightly. Not that they are, but he thinks a lot of fans are looking around thinking, what's happening to Team USA? They lose a few in qualifying, or not qualifying, excuse me, the tune-ups, and then they lose this game in pool play. And so now you have a situation where the U.S. needs to win its next two pool play games to advance to the medal round. Some pressure right off the top. Get this, Drew Holiday, he not only arrived in Tokyo not even 24 hours before they tipped off against France, but he was great. Now, he also struggled shooting, but he was up and down the floor, dishing the basketball, playing strong defense, picking up essentially right where he left off in game six of the NBA Finals. So pretty incredible to see him jump right into competition.
I think it's just competing, being a competitor. This is the first time I've been on the stage. So, you know, you always want to make an impression, but you never want to lose the first game. So, just came out and played as hard as I can, like I usually do, and try to leave it out there on the court.
He definitely did that. I was really impressed with what I saw from him. But again, a lot of guys struggled from the field. Zach LaVine, Kevin Durant, Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard, all these guys had opportunities late and could not get the shots to drop. And you look around at the other teams that are playing in these Olympics, and you recognize names. Rudy Gobert is one of the best players on the France roster, and they are really big inside. And so that size was a disadvantage for Team USA.
We could have very easily got to, I mean, when was the last game, Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever the game was, and Devin Booker saying, man, we lost. I'm pissed off. I'm out. Or Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday saying, man, we just won a championship. I want to celebrate. I want to stay home with my family. I'm out. I have a tremendous amount of respect for those guys for seeing it through, seeing their commitment through. And, you know, it's on us to make sure that we do our parts in making sure that they are rewarded with what they ultimately came here for, which is to help us compete and win a gold medal.
There's a lot of moving parts for Team USA. Guys who are just showing up and joining the fray. Devin Booker played. Drew Holiday played. Chris Middleton's part of that mix as well. As I say, KD was in foul trouble. Nobody shot well. It's a work in progress, but they really don't have much time to settle in. It would be a huge shocker if Team USA did not win the gold medal. Despite what happened in preliminaries, these are still the best players in the world. There are five all NBA players on this roster. So we'll see how it goes moving forward. Durant definitely cannot be in foul trouble like he was because he is their best player, to be sure. So that's just one surprise coming out of the weekend in Tokyo. As I say, Team USA in gymnastics also trailing after the preliminaries and the qualifying. So they will have work to do. And in the pool, it was a return for the GOAT, but her first event did not end in gold. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to hear from you all as you come out of the weekend. Hope you enjoyed a little downtime, maybe a little R&R, maybe a little sunshine. 855-212-4227. We're always happy to talk to you. Also, top of the hour, Joe Theismann on After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Stewart, deep fly ball. Back it goes. And gone! Kelsey Stewart, a walk-off home run for the United States. And they finish pool play 5-0, and they will be the home team in the gold medal game against Japan.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Once again on NBC, Team USA with a big smack of the bat and Kelsey Stewart, a walk-off home run as the Americans rally in the qualifying, or I guess you could call it qualifying. There's only one game left to go. And so they're into the gold medal game after beating Japan 2-1. They win their group stage at the Olympics, and now, because they finish up 5-0, they will bat last in the gold medal game. So we wouldn't call it home field advantage because they'll be taking on Japan again. This is pretty amazing, the way that these softball players, these athletes, and some of them being older, like Kat Osterman, like Monica Abbott, who are in their late 30s. We talked about this when we had Jessica Mendoza on the show from Tokyo late last week. You've got the two pitchers who are holdovers from the last time softball was in the Olympics in 2004. It has been gone since then, and they weren't sure it would ever return. And now here they are. They're certainly needing these bats to heat up and to stay hot. But it's been the two pitchers, Abbott with a perfect seventh in her third relief outing. She's also got two wins as a starter, and she's getting set for not only Tuesday's gold medal game, but her 36th birthday, which comes the day after. So, man, you want to talk about a sweet, shiny piece of bling for your birthday. A gold medal would be great. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A lot to keep up with, obviously. You know, there's so many different events that are either in their initial preliminary stages or, like softball, has advanced through already and will have their gold medal game coming up on Tuesday. Swimming generally dominates the first week, and then track and field takes over the second week. And there's good news and there's bad news. If you are a fan of Team USA, the red, white, and blue, they always have such high expectations in the pool.
So it's Apple in lane five. Above him is Frigo. The closest to him, the Italians, are going to be left behind by the United States, who are going to put away another gold medal in the men's relay. Italy was second, Australia with a bronze.
It's, as I say, high expectations for Team USA once again on NBC. It's the 4x100-meter freestyle relay anchored by Caleb Dressel, and he is supposed to have a humongous Olympics in Tokyo. So a big deal for the Americans to get off to a gold medal start. And, of course, they've got the target on their back, and Dressel knows that.
I mean, it feels great. We knew there was a huge target on our back every go round, so it feels nice to. I mean, I'd say we dominated that pretty well.
it's Going to be fun to see some of the individual matchups, but I always really enjoy the relays. Even though swimming is mostly a team sport, mostly an individual sport, the team part of it always really appeals to me. Those were always my favorite events to compete in when I did track and field myself. And so swimming is by far my favorite part of the Summer Olympics. It's always been this way since I was a kid, swimming and then track and field. But I love the Olympics for the gymnastics as well. I mean, I remember hanging out with my mom and watching gymnastics when I was little. We always watched them, and it was something I was allowed to stay up for when I was a kid. So yay, congratulations to Team USA. And Caleb Dressel says he never doubted that they would win gold. Katie Ledecky has very high golden expectations too. She is, as some call her, the greatest female swimmer that the United States has ever produced. And she races with similar expectations to what Michael Phelps used to race with. Essentially, because of her world records, her Olympic records, it's gold or bust. And it was a surprise in her first event on Sunday.
One last charge into Titmus, who has maintained the lead. And Ariane Titmus of Australia is looking strong with 5 meters left, is going to get that goal for Australia and knock off the legend of the biggest stage of the sport.
Once again on NBC from the pool, Ariane Titmus chased down Katie Ledecky and was able to grab the gold at the wall. Ledecky finished second in that 400 meter freestyle. Now, it's not her best event. She is competing for golds in a bunch of different freestyle events, but she's better, or she prefers the longer distances. So yes, she was expected to win gold, and this is a huge stunner for Titmus of Australia, but can you imagine how she feels? I mean, I think back to, here's just one example from women's sports, so there are certainly many. When Naomi Osaka first competed against Serena Williams at the U.S. Open, and you may remember the controversy a couple of years ago, but Osaka ended up winning, and she talked about how Serena was her idol and that it was always her dream to play her on the biggest stages in the sport. Well, that's what happens when you get, there's a 14-year-old Canadian actually who's competing against Ledecky as well. But that's what happens when you get a star of this caliber in an Olympic sport too. You've got other young swimmers that come behind, or swimmers who they recognize if they don't get better, they have no shot at beating Ledecky on the stage. And generally one great athlete or one really good team will force other athletes and other teams to raise their expectations, to raise their training, to raise their bar, because otherwise they'll get left in the dust. So I appreciate the grace of Ledecky as well. I heard an interview with her afterwards in which she talked about how it was a great race and that Titmus, she's been good competition, and that she expects that they'll go back and forth. So it was really impressive to watch, because she was nearly a full body length behind at the halfway mark and ended up closing like a house on fire and dethroned the defending Olympic champion and the world record holder, though Katie Ledecky still ends up with the silver. And it was the fourth fastest time ever recorded. So not a slow race by her or by anyone really to close out, but we're used to seeing Katie Ledecky at the top of the list and on the top step of the podium. So a surprise there. And we're just getting started. It's hard to keep up with everything, right? Because there's so much going on. It's this mad rush. I mentioned Osaka. She's already into the third round of the tournament at the Olympics. And so she, after taking a couple months off for a mental health break and to try to figure out how she wanted to proceed moving forward, she's part of the Japanese heritage and culture, as well as being ours in America. And so she's got a great story, unique story, and looks comfortable initially. This is hard court at the Tokyo Olympics, and she's won all four of her Grand Slam titles in hard court. So it definitely is her comfort zone. And to be there in Tokyo is awesome for her, I can imagine. All right, 855-212-4227. We are just getting started. We're going to flip the script a little bit and hit the baseball diamond because there were a couple of really impressive performances over the weekend, or Sunday specifically. The White Sox desperately needed a win. So did the San Francisco Giants. And how about the total crazy momentum shift between the Red Sox and Yankees, where Domingo Germán takes a no-hitter into the eighth inning against the Red Sox, and then all hell broke loose. So we'll get to that coming up. A-Law Radio on Twitter. If you tell me what you're watching this weekend, it'd be great to hear from you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
And there's a ground ball to third. Urshela throws out Hernandez, and the no-hitter is intact after six innings. Pitching as good as the humanly can pitch. Now the 1-2. Struck him out swinging breaking ball. He struck out four men in the inning. One reached on a pass ball. Tremendous. No runs, no hits, and one left. Now, at the end of seven innings of play, 3-0 Yanks, and Germán still has the no-hitter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's still the month of July, which means there's still fireworks going off in my neighborhood. And boy, were there plenty of fireworks on the diamond, whether we're talking about in Boston or whether we're talking about Dodgers and Rockies and needing to use the long ball, Los Angeles, a lot of tight situations where they need to rely on their bullpen and their big bats. The Giants avoiding a sweep against the Pirates, and the White Sox also getting a win on Sunday. So a lot happening even as we get closer to baseball's trade deadline, right? And so there are teams that don't yet know, will we be buyers? Will we be sellers? And these next couple days could very well determine if some big-time names are traded off, like, for instance, Washington. Max Scherzer rumored to be on the trade block, though he was pulled from a start over the weekend because of an injury, so they say. But a team like that that's at 45-53, this is just a couple of years after winning the World Series, maybe they're looking to see what they can get in exchange for some of their bigger names. But then you've got teams that are kind of toeing the line of playoff spot, wild card spot, and these next couple days will determine, not to mention the offers that they get, will determine whether or not the team remains intact or whether or not pieces are shipped elsewhere across the majors. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Joe Theismann on the show for the first time at the top of the hour. I had a chance to talk to him on Sunday. You know, we're now just 7 weeks away from week one of the NFL season. And so this time in 7 weeks, our show will be all NFL. And so really cool to catch up with the former MVP and the Super Bowl champion in the nation's capital on Sunday. But I digress. Back to baseball. And if you want to weigh in, obviously you can get us on the phones as well. 855-212-4227. Domingo Germán takes a no-hitter into the eighth inning against the Boston Red Sox, and it was quiet as a church at Fenway Park. And then, of course, everything changed once they got into the eighth inning.
Verdugo hits a high drive to right field, and it is off the right center field bullpen wall for a double for Verdugo, and that takes care of the no-hitter. So at least it was a clean hit, a long drive that went over the head of Greg Allen, hit off that little bullpen wall. It's only a few feet high. And here comes Aaron Boone. This is expected. He gave up the hit. He's thrown a lot of pitches, 93, so they'll take him out and bring in their best reliever, Jonathan Loaisiga.
So Loaisiga takes the mound in relief after Germán gives up the hit to Alex Verdugo. And you hear the calls with John Sterling on the Yankees radio network. At this point, New York still has a 4-0 lead, though there is now finally a runner in scoring position for the Yankees. No, not for the Yankees, for the Red Sox.
This pitch hit hard down the left field line toward the corner. Fair ball off the wall and a hop. It'll score a run. Verdugo is in, and the throw to second is too high, and Renfroe slides in with a double. Loaisiga delivers. Little looping line drive, shallow right center. That's going to fall for a hit. They're waving Renfroe around, and he will score, and it's a 4-2 game. Hit hard toward the left field corner. Another base hit. Vasquez being waved around. He will score. Cordero to third. It's a double for Kike Hernandez. And a 4-3 New York lead. Chopped slowly to short. It'll tie the game. Torres lobs to first for the out. It's 4-4. Britton's 1-0. Swing, pop, fly, right field near the line. Not particularly deep. Kike's tagging. Allen the catch. Allen's throw to the plate. Not in time. And the Red Sox have turned the tables on the Yankees from four down to one ahead here in the eighth inning.
When it was all said and done, it goes from being a no-hitter to being a five-run on five-hit campaign for the Sox in the bottom of the eighth, and they make it stand up to get that stunning victory over the Yankees. The calls there on the Red Sox radio network, five-run eighth. So it's not just about the no-hitter. It was about the win in this case. But Alex Verdugo said it was most important, and it really did mean a lot to us, not just to get a runner at second base and to get that first hit off Archermond, but also to feel like, okay, that monkey is off our backs.
Getting that hit out of the way kind of just had everybody kind of just take that big, deep breath, you know, just that exhale. Don't have to worry about getting no hit no more. And, you know, obviously that inning was crazy.
It definitely was. It was about as quick a turnaround momentum shift as you can imagine in baseball. It generally can happen when it's rivals, but it's happened to the Yankees a little bit too much. And actually, on the flip side, this is what the Red Sox do. If you haven't been watching them this year, they lead the majors with 32 come-from-behind wins. And so they're back in first place in the AL East, and they're kind of flip-flopping with Tampa Bay. But the 10th win in 13 games against the Yankees, if you include this one. Meanwhile, New York, they are 9 games behind Boston. And this is something that they feel because it's happened more than once where they blow these games late. They feel like they're getting close to a win. They're trying to put together streaks, and then it all goes horribly wrong.
We've had some really tough ones that we've had to get past and get through. And time and time again, these guys have done it and continue to reveal their character. And look, it's been a difficult season to this point, no question about it. But, you know, to these guys' credit, they continue to get off the mat time and time again, and we'll do it again.
Jonathan Loaisiga gives up the 4 runs, and Boston was happy to see him with the 4 straight hits after he took over for Domingo Germán. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You probably heard at the update, the bottom of the hour with Peter Schwartz, Shohei Ohtani hits home run number 35. So it's good to see him get back into a groove. A lot of times coming out of a home run derby, and man, the number of swings he took. Remember in the first round, he went into a tie break. There are a lot of swings, and then he pitched and hit in the All-Star game as well because he felt like he wanted to say thank you to the fans. I don't want it to affect him. It has not affected Pete Alonso, by the way. He is hitting his best hitting of the year so far, and in the last, I think it's the last 6 games, he's got, no, I have to go back and look at the numbers, but he's on a tear right now in terms of home runs as well, and so it's good to see him take his victory, second consecutive victory in the home run derby, back to his Mets, because if there is a team that needs offense in the league, it's definitely the Mets. Let's talk to Alan, who's in New Rochelle, New York. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Good morning. It's been a while since we've spoken. There's just one thing I really want to say. Actually, let me just get Heidi out of the way. And if I'm not mistaken, Gleyber Torres got picked off at second base the inning before the debacle started. Is that not correct?
I'd have to go look up, go back and look up what inning it was. But yeah, I mean, there was definitely a pickoff.
Okay, so Phil Nevin has one responsibility on that situation, and that is Gleyber Torres. So Phil Revin also, as long as we just pick it on Revin and pick it on the pitchers and Aaron Boone, because there's enough picking to go around. No outs, lost the runner at home plate on a relay throw. Phil Revin, like, is anybody paying attention?
So your issue is not the eighth inning. Your issue is not what happened with Loaisiga and the Red Sox getting four straight hits. Your issue is about a pickoff play?
Well, there's a couple of issues. The pickoff play in that particular game swung the momentum, in my opinion. And
okay,
I am a professional baseball coach, and I don't need to go over my credentials.
No.
That would be a waste of time. And this is your show. And I'll let you, I'll do you a favor. I'll let you speak. How's that? No, I just want to, you know, coaching is part of it.
Okay.
The throw from right field was most pitiful positioning for a throw that I've seen from Little League to the major leagues.
Okay.
To be facing the center fielder while you're throwing home, I've never seen anything like that. And that's coaching. The play speaks for itself.
Okay, well, at the point at which the pickoff happened, they're up 4-0. So I'm not sure how that is a huge momentum shift that affected their pitching. Are you saying that that affected Domingo Germán going into the eighth, the bottom of the eighth?
I would be saying that it affected everything because it's first and second, no out, and you get picked off a second.
Okay.
Where are you going? Is there a fire on second base where you have to get to third? What's your hurry?
Okay.
And Gleyber Torres is known for bad base running, and base running is part of baseball.
Well, of course it is. I just don't know how that affects the bottom of the eighth, unless you're saying there was such a psychological disadvantage because they had the chance to go up 5-0, and instead it was only 4-0. And I don't put it on Germán. He had obviously pitched exceedingly well to get into the bottom of the eighth. But the bullpen, you know, we're talking about Loaisiga and the fact that they couldn't stop the bleeding after that. So, yes, you're right. There are always mistakes in every game, and certainly you don't know what might have happened. Alan, thank you for your phone call from New Rochelle. You don't know what might have happened if Urshela comes around to score, but to me, that is separate from what happened in the bottom of the eighth and the fact that they could not stop the bleeding even after multiple pitching changes. All right, Joe Theismann, first time appearance on After Hours. He is straight ahead here at the top of the hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.